Well, we had good people a couple of years ago at the Huntington Theater Company. Now we have smart people.
We do, and they could not be more different. I just saw this show open last night at the Huntington Theater Company. It's playing through June 29th. This is by Lydia Diamond, who many people in Boston know because her last play here was a major success. It was Stick Fly that went on to Broadway. And Smart People, unlike Good People, which was all about Southie and people trying to make their way up, Smart People finds us in Cambridge, where we have Brian. He's a white neuropsychiatrist studying the brain's response to race. We have Ginny. She's a psychology golden girl on the Harvard tenure track. And we have Jackson. He's a black African, black surgical intern, I should say. And Valerie, who is also a black student graduating from the ART program. I included all of their races because this is a play about race. It plunks us down in 2007, so it's just before the election of President Obama. And this is a group for which race is really always at the surface, and it's bubbling forward. And it's Lydia Diamond looking at race in America today, and she was partly prompted by this notion that we're in a post-racial society, because, of course, that was the dialogue that came about with the election of President Obama. And so, you know, obviously in real life, race isn't so overt that it spills out as it does with these characters, and often very funny ways, I might add, but it does. And I asked Lydia Diamond when I spoke with her recently about how the election of the president affected her writing, what she was doing while, what she wrote during the election.
The way the ground has shifted is disturbing to me in some ways because I think that we can get into this self-congratulatory mode that says, oh, there are no problems, and quite clearly there's so much for us to work on. The play doesn't want to have an agenda, though. The play kind of wants you to have your characters and speculate about their relationships and wake up the next morning and have a completely different opinion.
Opinion about what?
Well, all of these characters are very impassioned because they are so bright. So they're having these great discussions. And what precipitates the discussions is this notion that Brian, the neuropsychiatrist, has discovered essentially a gene that makes people have a predisposition to hate, essentially a gene that makes people racist. I might also add that this is based on actual science that is happening now. There isn't a definitive gene that makes people racist. But there is science heading in that direction, and Lydia Diamond is well aware of this. And so in reporting these results, Brian has this thunderous criticism come down on him, not only from the society at large, a medical society at large, in part because, as he says in the play, he's given an NPR interview in which he talks about his study's findings, but he finds this interaction with his friends too. But I should also say that this is a very, very funny play because it gets at race through a lot of stereotypes that we know and a lot of ways to cut people down. And I talked to Lydia Diamond about that as well, how she uses comedy for such an otherwise explosive topic.
In these things that are the most difficult things to wrap our minds around, there is great humor. Race is awkward. Sex is weird. And we have to laugh about it. So, I don't know. I've found that in the working out of complicated things, the laughter is both disarming and humanizing. It's where we can connect.
You know, it reminds me of All in the Family, you know, the Archie Bunker thing. When these really serious issues are being dealt with in a comic way, it almost has to be.
Absolutely. And what I really appreciated about this play is that it has this terrific arc. Act one, you have no idea when, after the first act, where it's going. Well, you have a sense. I had a sense that it was going to come into this major explosive issue, which does happen on the eve of the president's inauguration. But it forces you to consider all of these conversations, to sort of internalize them. And as Lydia Diamond said, not that I wanted to necessarily take my cues from her, but this is what happens. You wake up thinking about all of these different elements and where you come to stand in this and where we really are in society. It's a very, very thought-provoking piece.
And she's really an interesting playwright to watch, certainly. Smart People, presented at the Huntington Theater Company at the Calderwood Pavilion through June 29th. Next, we turn to a Cirque du Soleil production directed by Diane Paulus.
Yes, who recent, by the way, she was named one of Time magazine's 100
really?
Most influential people in the world.
Right.
As if she doesn't have her hands full running the ART and sending shows to Broadway to win Tonys, as she most recently did with Pippin. She directed Amaluna, her first Cirque du Soleil show. She did this several years ago, and it's been on tour, and it's arriving in Boston for the first time. And Amaluna is under the Big Top at the Marine Industrial Park, and she really took her cues from the Magic Flute and from most notably The Tempest, which is coincidental since it's also playing at the ART right now. But this is a female-focused show. When Cirque du Soleil went to Diane Paulus, they said to her that they wanted to do sort of an exploration of women. And so she worked for a year just to find acts to bring women into the fold so that she has a show that's 70% women. The band is all female. In taking her cues from The Tempest, she changed Prospero, the wizard who presides over his island in that Shakespeare's tale, to Prospera. So we have this mother-daughter relationship in Amaluna. And I talked to Diane Paulus about what she brought in her own examination of the mother-daughter depiction.
I feel so influenced by my mother and what she gave me in life lessons and just her influence on me that I carry with me every day, even though she's now passed away many, many years. So that feeling of transmission from one generation to the next was really inspiring for me. So I think you feel that in Amaluna. You have a character of a mother who's powerful, who's regal, who has art and magic at her fingertips.
And what about the Cirque du Soleil kind of frame of reference for this?
Well, and we have to remember, this is Cirque du Soleil, so there isn't a theatrical story per se. In fact, Diane Paulus told me that she felt like this stretched her because it was like directing a story ballet because there are no words. So you see this mother-daughter relationship through line, but the acts, as always, with Cirque du Soleil are fantastic, including, I must mention, a woman billed as the balance goddess. Her name is Lily Chow. She begins by picking up one very large stick, and over the course of, I don't know, the next 10 minutes, she basically creates this entire, what looks like a whale skeleton, and it's
really?
All on balance. I mean, you don't want to breathe because you don't want to send that little wisp of air onto the stage to disrupt her.
Incredible. Okay, so that's the Amaluna, Cirque du Soleil by Diane Paulus. And we turn next to a movie that's opening tomorrow called The Fault in Our Stars.
This, a lot of young people know, Bob. This was based on a young adult best-selling novel, and it's so unlikely. It's about two young people in their late teens who find love in a cancer support group because both have cancer. And Shailene Woodley stars as Hazel, and she is just riveting in this film. We see the two develop this bond and this relationship all in the with the surroundings of this cancer environment and being aware of mortality and not knowing what's left in life, so really deciding to live. But I have to say, what I most appreciated about this film is that it's real. It's not grand. It's not melodramatic. There aren't these sweeping, overarching gestures. It's really about people. And I think for kids, it's going to be a great model for them. And I think for adults, it's a look back to who we want to be and that sort of that innocence, but also that strength and the wherewithal to carry yourself in a way that you can end your life ultimately having lived the best way possible. I should also mention that this novel by John Green was based on his friendship with a young girl named Esther Grace Earle, who lived here in Massachusetts, and she died in 2010 at age 16. Of thyroid cancer. His novel is largely based on her, and her family has since said they see so much of their daughter in this character, Hazel. It's a really, really touching story.
And much anticipated.
Yes.
That's for sure.
Yeah.
The Fault in Our Stars, that's opening tomorrow. And I see Mike Birbiglia is in it as well. That's kind of interesting. Thank you,
Jiz. Great comic relief.
Okay, Jared. We'll see you next week. Jared Bowen with the Arts here on WGBH.
Thanks, Mike.